good to see the Lord doing things here amongst our people and using us. And I've had, you know, phone calls from people, and I've talked to people and had this confirmed time and time again. And it's been really, really encouraging for me, because a few months ago I was really kind of down. And the Lord's lifting up my spirits and encouraging me. And it's what I've been praying for. And He answers prayer. So, and each one of these touches of people coming alongside and confirming that, yes, this is where I'm supposed to be, and I'm still doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm doing what it is I'm supposed to be doing. It's, and I'm supposed to continue doing it. And this is the location. And that's all being confirmed time and time again. And I just thought I would share that with you this morning. As we have a beautiful sunny day out, and not all days are as gorgeous as this, but all days are a blessing, even the ones that are full of trial and tribulation. We're going to look at some scripture this morning that talks about some things that are a difficult teaching. So I'm going to ask you to pay close attention, and hopefully you've been reading Hebrews like I've asked and reminded you again last week, is at least be trying to read the next section. Now, we're not going to be in Hebrews again after today until April or until May. The way it works out is we won't be back in Hebrews until May, so you'll have plenty of opportunity to read ahead. Yeah, right. Okay. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 4 and following through verse 12. Chapter 6, verse 4. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance. Because of their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting Him to public disgrace. Land that drinks in the rain often falling on it, and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed, receives the blessing of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are confident of better things in your case. Things that accompany salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown Him as you have helped His people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the same end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning. We give you praise. We thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have to read it and study it and to learn to apply it to our lives. Lord, I pray this morning that as I come to preach, that your anointing would be upon me, that I would speak your truth in power, and that your people would hear your voice, not mine. Lord, we pray that your word would encourage each one of us, would lead us closer to you, and help us to live for your glory. Now, Father, speak to us now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I left my glasses that have the strap at home today. So if I go like this and they fall to the floor, you'll know why. I'm used to just dropping them. It's quick, amazing how quickly you pick up different habits. As we look at this passage today, which is one of the more difficult passages, there are plenty of difficult passages in Scripture, but this passage is one of those that says that there's something impossible We say, hold it. Nothing is impossible with God. Anybody ever hear that? Anybody believe it? Absolutely. Nothing is impossible with God. But yet, here we have this impossibility stated. Now, it's important that we, when we read Scripture, we read it in context. It's also important that when we interpret Scripture, we use Scripture to interpret it, so that we're not going off on these tangents which lead away from God, but instead that we're following the course that God has set us down. Anybody here ever hear a teaching that has taken a left turn and you go, whoa, where did they come from after that? Well, that comes from not following those rules of using Scripture to interpret Scripture and using and taking things out of context. So what's our context? Well, we've already been warned last week that we need to stop being like infants and we need to start eating real food. We need to be not concerned with just these minor baby theology, but need to move up into the more difficult theology, the theology of righteousness. And we need to chew this stuff. Real food. So that we might grow stronger, that we might mature. And he jumps right in and throws one out there. That's a hard one. It's impossible for those. And then we have some points. Who have once been enlightened, they've tasted the heavenly gift, they have shared in the Holy Spirit, and tasted the goodness of the Word of God, and the powers of the coming age. People that have done that, that if they fall away, they cannot be brought back to repentance. Because to their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting Him to public disgrace. We're talking about believers who are not just backsliding, but have turned their back to God. Difference between a backsliding and turning your back on God is this. Backsliding. Turn your back. Anybody notice the difference? In the one, I have my back to you. In the other, I was facing you. In the one, we are facing God, but yet we are falling back. In the other, we've turned our back upon God. And we're moving away. Intentionally. Purposefully. How many of you, when you're walking down the street, turn around and walk backwards? Normally you don't unless you have some purpose to do so. You certainly don't do it as the best way to get from point A to point B. You don't do that. If you turn around, you turn your direction. Now, Mike shared with me this Thursday something that he told one of his new Turkish believers who had come to him and said, "What do I do?" Or, "Is there hope for one who can't stop himself from backsliding?" And Mike told him, "Which way are you facing?" That's what's important. If God sees that you're facing Him, He's reaching out for you. But if you've turned your back upon God, that makes the entire difference. And this is what we're talking about here. We're talking about believers who have turned their back upon God. Now, there are some who get on this... We have this big theological debate which we've labeled Arminian and Calvinistic. Arminians think that you can lose your salvation. Calvinists think that it's impossible to lose one's salvation. And a Calvinist would say, well, this person was never really a real believer. But I don't see that descriptive here. And I think it's best if we take these theological viewpoints sometimes and just leave them aside and not try to use our theology to interpret Scripture, but use Scripture to determine our theology and go that direction. Okay? So don't read it with a preconception that it must be this because my theology says it must be that. Let's read what it says, and it's telling us that here are people who've tasted the goodness of God. The Holy Spirit. Who receives the Holy Spirit? Christians. When we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we talk about being sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's not something that we come up with on our own. It's something that Scripture tells us. Now, it tells us here also that it's impossible once these people have been turned, they turn away from God, who've fallen away. So they have to be in the group before you can fall away. For them to come back, to be brought back to repentance. I was trying to think out, how can I explain what this is like? And what I came up with is, if you're driving down the road at 75 miles an hour, anybody here ever drive at 75 miles an hour? If you're driving down the road at 75 miles an hour, is it possible to turn around and stay moving the same direction or even just automatically reverse direction? No. Because remember what repentance is. Repentance is turning from sin and turning towards God. That is its definition. Okay. If I'm driving 75 miles an hour towards St. Paul, down 694, other than praying that there are no highway patrol around, and I decide, hold it, I need to be back in Brooklyn Center. What do I have to do? I have to slow down. Usually I have to get off the path and turn around. At the very least, I would have to stop in my lane, turn my car, and head back the other way. Now, that can lead to difficulties. And this illustration really works well because quite often we attempt to do that same thing. We need to get off the path and come back on a different one. But if we try to turn around in the same path that we're at, we keep running into all this stuff coming at us. We say, hey, I'm having all this trouble getting to God. Well, we're in the wrong path. But the point is, it's still impossible for me to change direction while moving the direction. I have to bring it to a stop. It's not that God can't forgive us if we turn away from Him. He forgives the prodigal son. The prodigal son who knew the father, grew up in his household, tasted all his blessings, said, give me your blessing, I'm leaving. I'm taking all your stuff with me and I'm going to go out on my own. And the father said, don't do it. Bye. But when his son came back, he greeted him and had a party. So God can forgive us. What's impossible, the point of impossibility is repenting while moving away from God. You can't repent from God and move away from God at the same time. And a Christian who has an unrepentant heart has their back to God. Say, but I really meant it when I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I was really sorry when I repented of my sins. And God really changed my life and He was really right there. Yeah, that's true. But if you turn your back, the writer of Hebrews is telling us here, if you turn your back to God after having tasted that, and you run away from God, there is nobody out there that can turn you around. You can't turn yourself around unless you stop. But one who is in full bore run away from God can't be turned. They have to stop. You're saying, what's scary? Yeah, it is. You're saying that it is possible for one to lose one's salvation. I'm saying that that appears to be what the Scripture is telling me here. And when I read it elsewhere, it tells me that same thing. It tells me that nobody can take it away from me. I can't lose it. It's not going to be accidental. But it is telling me that I have to be sure that I'm not turning my back on God. It likens turning the back upon God as to a field of thorns and thistles. You ever try to weed a field of thorns and thistles? Farmers don't do that. Why? It's not worth the effort. It really can't be done. In the process of attempting to pull all the weeds, you're leaving behind roots and you're knocking off more seeds, and then it just comes back up. What has to be done is it must be burned. The roots destroyed, the seeds destroyed, and then reseeded. Grasses aren't here. In the end, it will be burned. In the end, those who have turned their backs upon God, even though they once tasted of the blessing of God, will be burned. The point here, though, isn't to get us all afraid. It isn't to chastise these people and for him to, and he's not telling them, you're all like this. In fact, if you're here, you're probably not like that. If you're worried about whether or not you're right with God, you're probably okay. It's the ones who say, I don't care. Those are the ones I worry about. The reason why the writer of Hebrews is doing this is, he says, we want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order that to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. See, when we become children of God, we become children of the inheritance. We have children of the promise. There's an inheritance waiting for us. And we will receive the inheritance if we follow the dictates of the will. And the will says that we shall follow God. We're His children, but we still have to follow Him. To get onto the will, I have to repent. To be made a child of God. In order to receive it, I have to follow through to the end following God. That means if I lose my repentant heart and turn away from God, Now I'm in trouble. I've lost my inheritance. And he's telling us here, the writer, is doesn't want that to happen. Doesn't want us to get lazy and to fall away. But instead, through practice and work, through diligence to the very end, that we could receive that which we've been promised. It's all due diligence. I titled this one, Due Diligence. Have you ever heard, seek after a goal with all due diligence? Don't assume, because God has said, you are my child, that you're going to receive the inheritance. Seek after it with all due diligence. He said, if you love me, you will obey me. But I'm having trouble obeying God. I try. If you're trying, that's really what he asks. He's more concerned with our heart than our actions, because truly our actions will follow our heart. Sometimes by doing something, the heart will be changed by the action. But more times, the condition of the heart leads to the action. Somebody who's truly compassionate is somebody who you're going to see being more giving. Somebody who's not compassionate, if you tell them to give every week, eventually it could happen that they learn compassion from that, but I'm not going to hold my breath. But it can happen. It says, we don't want you to become lazy. Marriage is work. How many of you know that? Come on. Marriage is work. It's hard work. And if you don't work at your marriage will disintegrate and crash. I will make that guarantee. You just can't set it on autopilot and let it go. It will not survive. Our relationship with God can't just be set on autopilot. Let it go. We've got to work at it. Don't be lazy. Study the Word of God. Pray. Seek after God. Fellowship with other believers. Do the work that God has put before you. Anybody ever feel like God is telling you to do something, say, oh, I just don't want to do it. And then when you went and did it, you said, I don't know why I didn't want to do that. It was so good. I mean, I'm holding up my hand here because I've done that. I am that. Sometimes it's Sunday morning. I don't want to go to church. I love it. I get these emails from, of course, my family, who talks about the pastor who's saying, I don't want to go to church. You have to go to church. You're the pastor. You know, there's a ton of jokes that use, that's the punchline. And, of course, my family sends them all to me. Because sometimes, frankly, I don't want to go to church. But you know what? When I come to church, afterwards I'm like, what was my problem? I don't know. See, if we do what it is that God has for us, He also has blessings for us that come out of those tasks. Sometimes things get really tough and rough. That's true, but He's always there with us to carry us through. But we need to do the work, not to become lazy. We need to imitate those who through faith and patience. Ooh, patience. And I want it now. Patience. Don't pray for patience. You'll have opportunity from God to learn patience. Too late, huh? Yeah. Sometimes we got to learn it. That's right. And we do. And God has brought that lesson to my table more than once. Because I'm a slow learner. But we need, through faith and patience, we need to wait upon God for His perfect timing. The injunction that we read, that is just before this part that we read today, told us not to be children, not to be infants, but to seek to grow and mature. We were told, here's the problem, is if we don't work at staying on track, we can be set off track. Now, how many of you here know anything about sailing? Other than Brian. Brandon does. Okay. Anybody here ever operate a boat? How good does the boat operate if you shut off the engine? Not so good. It's real hard to get direction out of something that isn't moving. You want to go... You can take a sailboat and you can go travel into the wind if you're moving. You start off coming against and you tack back and forth and you can actually move into the wind. But if you don't have power propelling your vehicle, whether we're talking about a motorboat, a sailboat, a car, whatever, you can't really change direction. You can't provide direction. So we need to be doing the work. That's moving forward. But if we're not providing direction and that power to keep us on track, moving in the direction we want to go, you put a sailboat out there, where does it go? Well, wherever the wind sends it. You put a rowboat out there, a motorboat, and the wind will move that too. You'd be surprised how well the wind will move that boat. It'll send it any which direction. The point that I'm trying to make there is that what the writers of Hebrews is telling us is if we don't work at our relationship with God, we're in danger of losing our direction, which is supposed to be facing Him with a repentant heart. And we become in danger of losing our repentant heart, turning our back to God. And it can happen. It can happen. Because it can happen, we want to work to see to it that it doesn't happen. And it's easily done against by working hard, keeping focused upon God, seeking to follow Him with faith and patience. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the opportunity that You give us each day to come to You and to find out more about You and to find that direction for our lives. To each day make sure that our course is straight and true. That You're guiding us where we need to go. That we're facing You with a repentant heart and that we have not become unrepentant and turned our back to You. Father, help us each one to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. We wish to inherit your promise. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.